الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أحب الناس إلى الله تبارك وتعالى أنفعهم للناس أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Respected elders and brothers in Islam, if we have to look at ourselves as a Muslim community in this country, we would undoubtedly observe that we have progress. We have greater strength than we had a few decades ago. There's greater awareness about Muslims and there's greater presence. Across the country, you will find that we have increased in masajid, in madrasas, in Islamic institutions. Yet the aspect with regards to which we lack these days is in terms of our conduct, in terms of our humanity, in terms of our social etiquette. We have been gripped by this tug of war between wanting to gain maximum for ourselves, and we continuously complain about others not upholding our values or not fulfilling our rights. So when you speak to a husband, he will say that my wife is not fulfilling my rights. The same complaint will be from the white side. And then you'll have parents saying the children are not giving me my dues, and children are feeling that they are not being given what is deserving to them. Everyone seems to be pulling for their own rights, but the question is, are we even concerned about the rights that we owe to others? And we need to move beyond that. We need to move to something more positive. We need to move to a more, such an attitude that would give off positivity and bring change that would be in a positive light. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna ahabba al-a'mali ila Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala ba'da al-fara'id idkhalu sururin ala qalbi mu'min." The most beloved action to Allah Rabbul Izzah after the fulfillment of your obligatory rights is to bring happiness to a believer. What a position Allah has granted insan. Ashraful makhluqat, the best of Allah's creation, that to make a believer happy is considered as an act of worship. What a beautiful deen Allah has granted us, that it is elevated to that position, that by you doing a certain action with the intention of making someone happy through this action, that is an act of worship from your side. And not just an ordinary act, one of the greatest acts after the fara'id. The unfortunate reality about us is that we have become very individualistic and materialistic. So we look very inward. Everyone is concerned as to how I can amass more wealth, so I can increase the standard of my living, so I can drive a better car, I can renovate my home, I can take my family for overseas holidays or regular umrah trips, whatever it is. It's all about me, myself and my family. And this attitude has robbed us of our humanity. We only focus on ourselves. Whereas when Rib'i bin Amir radiallahu ta'ala anhu stood in the court of Rustum, then he said, Allah ibta'athana linukhrija man sha'a min ibadati al-ibad ila ibadati rabbil ibad wa min dhiqi ad-dunya ila sa'atiha. Allah has sent us to remove mankind from the servitude of mankind to the servitude of one Allah, and to remove mankind from the constraints of this world to the vastness of this world. Now, if he said from the constraints of this world to the vastness of the akhirat, it would immediately resonate, because we know that this world is a prison for the believer. This world is a limited amount of days for the believer, where he will be challenged in different ways. So this world is constrained, and the akhirat is vast and eternal. But that's not what he said. He said to remove mankind from the constraints of this world to the vastness of this world. What is the constraints of this world? It is that insatiable appetite that we've developed for continuously amassing the dunya. That our only focus is how we can improve ourselves and how we can elevate ourselves with regards to the dunya. And that has robbed us of our sympathy and empathy for fellow human beings. Now, there's a saying that if you want to experience happiness for 1 hour, take a nap. If you want to experience happiness for 1 day, then go fishing. If you want to experience happiness for 1 year, inherit a fortune. But if you want to experience happiness eternally, then give happiness to others. Give to others. We have become very, very selfish. There was a local charity that noticed that a CEO of a corporate company had not given a donation to the charity for the year. So the director of the local charity picked up the phone and he phoned the CEO of the corporate company, and he spoke to him and he said that our research has indicated that you've earned 5 million for the last year and you haven't donated to any charity. Would you not like to give back to your community? So the CEO of the corporate company responds and says, has your research also indicated that I have a mother who is terminally ill with an extremely high hospital bill? So the director of the charity is caught a bit unaware, and he begins to feel embarrassed, and he says, no. And the CEO of the corporate company goes on, he says, have your research indicated that I have a brother who's blind and unemployed? Or has it indicated and shown you that I have a sister whose husband passed away, leaving her Johnny broke with 4 kids? The director of the charity company is even feeling more embarrassed now. He says, I had no idea. The CEO of the corporate company then responds, says, I haven't given them anything. Why would I give you? And that is how selfish we have become. Yet the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that khayrun nasi anfa'uhum linnas. The best of people are those that benefit people the most. Wa ahabbul a'mali ila Allah ta'ala sururun tudkhiluhu ala mu'minin. And the best action in the sight of Allah is happiness that you bring to a believer. Happiness that you bring to a believer. Our situation is that, you know, we cannot share in the happiness and the joys of others simply because of the fact that we have our own insecurities, that we have our own unfulfilled aspirations, that we have our unaccomplished goals. So someone's son become a Hafiz. I cannot feel happy because my son didn't complete his hibs. Someone has a new car. I've been always desiring for that car, so how can I be happy for him? Someone else
has progressed in terms of the dunya, his business is doing well, I feel a tinge of jealousy in my heart because I'm not on the same footing. So our own insecurities and unaccomplished goals is holding us back and robbing us of our humanity. And that is the primary reason why we cannot share in the joys of others. Because when we look at what a great action that this bringing joy to others has been elevated to the position of being the best action after our acts of worship, yet we find ourselves not taking a share from that. Whereas if we were connected with one another, then we would be happy for one another. We would be able to share in the joys of others and be able to congratulate and appreciate that. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum were very, very closely connected. They had that empathy for one another. When we look at the famous incident of Sayyidina Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu anhu, who had remained behind from the expedition of Tabuk, and he had been sanctioned and boycotted. For 50 days, no one was to talk to him. This period was a very lonely period. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu complied with the instruction of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they didn't speak to him. And he persevered, he made tawbah, and he remained steadfast. And after this period had elapsed, 50 days had passed, one morning after Fajr, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam then announced to the Sahaba that the tawbah of Sayyidina Ka'b radiallahu anhu had been accepted. Look at the response from those who were in the gathering. There were several Sahaba present at that moment. One Sahabi darts out of the masjid, hastens towards a small elevated area, a hillock, and from there he announces, "O Ka'b, your tawbah has been accepted." While he is still in this process of getting to that hill, another Sahabi thinks to himself, by the time he would reach there, it would be too long, let me take a different route. So he then comes out of the masjid, mounts his horse, and races off to the home of Sayyidina Ka'b and conveys the news to Sayyidina Ka'b that his tawbah has been accepted. Sayyidina Ka'b radiallahu anhu embraces him, and then he describes the scene as he's now coming to Masjid Nabawi. And he describes and he says, "Fatalaqani an-nas fawjan fawjan." People greeted me in droves. People greeted me in droves. "Yuhanninunani biqubul at-tawbah." Every one of them giving me glad tidings that my tawbah had been accepted. And this is what they shared in at that moment with him. He says, until I came into Masjid Nabawi and I greeted Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said to me, "Abshir bi khayri yawmin tala'at alayk," that this is the best day that you've witnessed, O Ka'b. Sayyidina Ka'b, for time immemorial, remember that feeling of how his companions, before that, they were told that you are not to speak to him, and they complied. But when it was his moment of happiness, when it was his moment of joy, at that moment, they were able to share in and to join in that moment of joy. And that is the best way that we can connect with those around us, by assisting and helping those around us. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best action is to bring joy to others. And added to that hadith, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man nafasa an mu'minin kurbatan min kurabi dunya, nafasa Allahu anhu kurbatan min kurabi yawm al-qiyamah." Whoever removes from a believer a difficulty from the difficulties of this world, Allah will remove from that person a difficulty from the days of Qiyamah, from the day of Qiyamah. That is how
we can reach out and assist others. One day, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu was sitting in itikaf in Masjid Nabawi. And while he was in itikaf, someone came to him. فَأَرَادَ فِي حَاجَةٍ He needed him for some fulfillment of a need of his. And he asked him to come along. And Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas obliged and went along with him until he was able to fulfill the need of Sayyidina bin Abdullah bin Abbas. In fact, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas was able to fulfill his need. Someone then spotted Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas outside. He was surprised and he said, أَلَسْتَ كُنْتَ مُؤْتَكِفًا It weren't you in itikaf in the masjid. Why is it that I see you outside? And he responds and says, Yes, I was in itikaf. However, I've heard the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam say, لَأَنْ أَمْشِيَ مَعَ أَخِي فِي حَاجَةٍ لَهُ خَيْرٌ لِي مِنْ أَنْ أَعْطِكَ فِي مَشْجِدِ هَذَا شَهْرًا We all know the virtue of Masjid Nabawi. And performing salah there, 1,000 times greater, or even some narrations up to 50,000 times greater. Yet the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas conveyed this, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that for me to go with my brother, to fulfill his need, is greater than sitting in itikaf in this masjid for one full month. So he left the masjid, he left the itikaf, which should have its consequences, to fulfill the need of his brother. And the point is that these days, we are willing to give our money. But who's willing to give time? Technology has improved our lives. Menial tasks that would take us ages to fulfill, we are able to fulfill it within moments, preparing a meal, commuting. Yet the common complaint is that we don't have time. We don't have time for our family. We don't have time for our children. We don't have time for our spouses. We don't have time for our parents. We seem to be always at a loss for time. And this is where we lack. It's not necessary what you give, but what you are willing to put forth in terms of your time and physically. We should not think that we have to bring about big change in the world. Sometimes it is a small action that can bring about the change that we'd like to see in the world. Around 1993, there was the famine in Darfur in South Sudan. And at that time, the White Nile had been blocked. So this stopped the water from coming into Sudan. There was also a lack of rain. There was political unrest. The entire region had become barren, lack of vegetation, the livestock were dying, and the situation was just getting worse all the time. People were migrating from villages and abandoning villages, and the world's focus was now on Sudan and what was happening there. And journalists from around the world hastened to Sudan to try and cover the catastrophe that was unfolding. And at that time, there was a South African journalist, Kevin Carter, who flew from South Africa to Sudan to cover the famine. And on his trip, on his expedition, he went around snapping, taking photos of whatever he came across. And there's one photo that he snapped that became world famous. It was a photo in which he was able to capture a frail Sudanese boy who was really thin and weak, who had collapsed while walking. And this boy was in the middle of nowhere, and in the background of the photo there was a vulture. And it was as though this vulture was eyeing the boy, waiting for the boy to die, and the vulture was then going to pounce on the boy and devour the boy. And the South African photojournalist was able to take this picture, which was then shared across the globe, and it became world famous. He in fact then won a prize, a yearly prize for the best photo of the year. And this picture was then published in the New York Times and other newspapers, and it created a storm. He was then interviewed on one radio station, and while being interviewed, they opened the lines and someone called in. And the person then asked him a question which stunned him. He asked him, "So, what happened to the boy after you took the picture?" So he responded by saying, "I assume that the boy made it to the local AIDS center. I chased a vulture away and I then had to rush off to take my flight because I was leaving Sudan and returning to South Africa." And that person then said to Kevin Carter that moment that, "Take it from me, there were two vultures on that day and one had a camera in his hand." There were two vultures on that day and one had a camera in his hand. And those words continued to play in the mind of Kevin Carter until he had returned to South Africa, and not long after that, he then drove to a local lake in Johannesburg where he parked his car, he left it on, and he took a pipe and he connected to his exhaust and he laid it to the window and he started his car and he sat in and he eventually committed suicide with carbon dioxide. Totally strange for everyone else that he had won this prize, which was a coveted prize. And in the days that he was supposed to be enjoying the fame that came with the prize, he committed suicide. Because it played on his mind that he could have done something and he chose to ignore doing anything. And for you and me, in every situation, as you sit as a businessman with a customer on the other side, or as a doctor with a patient on the other side, or as a lawyer or professional with a client on the other side, or as an employer with an employee, always turn the table and ask yourself, what would I have liked if I was on that side of the table? If I was in the position of the other person, what would I like? And then grant that person what you would have liked. Because we've become so selfish that we only look at what we can take from the situation. He looked at the picture that he could take and it could make him famous. But what about the person about who the picture was taken? So there are small ways in which we can bring this difference into the world. There's a saying that if you go big or go home. So we think that if we want to make a difference, it's going to be of a big nature. But sometimes it is a small thing that we can do in our own life that can bring about the change. And this is something that I've learned in my own life also, that working at a radio station in the newsroom, you always have deadlines, cut-off times, and it's very intense. You're always pushing to complete your task. And sitting at the radio station and having a vast array of co-employees, people who are also employed in different departments, there's some who are advanced in age. And I had some people, gentlemen, who would come to me while I'm sitting down to do my work and they would want to chat. And they'd ask me a masala, want some advice, just want to talk. And initially this was annoying for me because you're working for the next bulletin, you're working to get your articles out, the content out. I never nevertheless obliged them, but it was in me, I was uncomfortable with this situation. Until one day, I got feedback from a third person who said that, you know, the time that you give this one and that one, it really makes them happy. And they cherish that. And they've spoken to others about how you're willing to listen to them and advise them. And it was that moment that it struck me that there's something greater to life. That in those moments that I'm chasing to fulfill my deadlines, yet by me listening to them, I'm bringing happiness to their heart. And that is what we need to look for within our own lives. That where is that one moment that I can make a difference to someone else?
It doesn't mean that, you know, there is doom and gloom across the globe. Muslims are suffering in different parts of the world, so we can't bring macro change. We can't change the conditions that everyone is experiencing. That should not make us despondent, that we give up making small differences to the lives of those around us. And in that way, we will be making this world a better place for everyone. In conclusion, make someone happy and you will make yourself happy. Bring joy to others and you're bringing joy to yourself. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلق محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.